Well, Roanoke-based St. Francis Service Dogs trains dogs to serve as life partners to people with disabilities and to help them live more independent lives. What you may not realize is how much time and work that it takes to make that happen. Executive Director Cabell Yule and special guest service dog Kaya joining Evan Jones and me live today to tell us more. Cabell, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming by. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Well, training is a multi-step process, Cabell. So let's start at the beginning. How do you initially select dogs to determine if they are worthy candidates?
This whole process is actually quite involved, and it takes a good long while. But we start with puppies who are about 8 weeks old, and we work with breeders, and we work with actually also with the breeding cooperative with other service dog organizations to select dogs that we think are temperamentally well suited for this work. Mm-hmm. And so we actually test them at 8 weeks old to see if this is something that we think they would like and whether we think that they are stable and calm dogs. Mm-hmm. And then at 8 weeks, they start with us. So they come in as just little furry balls, and we place them with a puppy raiser who will either be in the community or in our Bland prison program. We have inmates in our prison program who help us as well. Mm-hmm. And they will stay with that person for 8 to 10 months. And that volunteer will help socialize them, teach them basic manners, start to teach them, you know, simple obedience things like sit and down and that sort of stuff. And basically prepare them for their college experience and their advanced training.
Okay, we're speaking with Cabell Yule of St. Francis Service Dogs. And if there was ever a time to tune in to us on Facebook Live for one of these, this is it. Because we're at some point we're going to show down the really the real star of the show is Kaya.
Yes.
One of your trusty dogs. We'll sort of get to her role in a moment. But once you get past the initial training, you begin training dogs like Kaya to see how well they can be handle themselves in public situations. What kind of situations and why is this an important next step?
It's extremely important because a service dog can go with their person anywhere in public that they go. So these dogs find themselves in a lot of situations that pet dogs don't. This, for example, would be a rare place for a pet dog to find themselves. But here is Kaya in a very different situation for her, and she's very relaxed. And she's just lying here and just kind of taking it all in, but she's not worried. And so our puppy raisers really help prepare our dogs for that. And they do that by taking them. These dogs go into grocery stores. They go into restaurants. They go to movie theaters. We go to the airport and get them used to going through security. They go on buses. They go on trains. If we place a dog in a metro area, they have to be used to subways and metros and all that kind of stuff. So these dogs have to be exposed to all kinds of things so that they learn that the world is not a scary place and they can handle it all and focus and do their job no matter what.
Most of the times that I see service dogs, they are labs of some kind or retrievers of some kind. I'm sure there are good reasons for that.
There are good reasons for that. There are several. One is that retrievers obviously like to retrieve, and they have nice, gentle mouths, meaning they don't mess up the stuff they bring to you. So a lot of what a service dog is going to do is pick things up. They pick up keys, glasses, remotes, anything someone needs, crutches, leg braces, and bring them to people. And so a retriever is naturally suited to that. They also typically have a wonderful temperament. They're friendly and gentle, and they like to be trained and they like to please. They're large enough that they can hold open a commercial door for someone, pull a refrigerator door open, they're tall enough to go up on, you know, to counters to hand someone a wallet or something like that. And probably one of the most important things is they're perceived as friendly by the public. We want these dogs to pull people in and not isolate someone who has a disability.
We are speaking with Cabell Yule, Executive Director of the Roanoke-based St. Francis Service Dogs, and we should point out that they serve a wide area outside of Roanoke. We may get to that later. But let's get on to specific training now. We get to the point where it's time to match a dog to a person. What do you then do? Because at this point, you can't just say, well, you're a good dog, you're well-trained, adapt outside. You do have to train specifically to match the needs of the person.
Yes. So all of our dogs are trained and have to hit certain benchmarks. So they all have to be at a certain level before they're ready to be matched with their person. But once we find the right person for the dog, then we will start to tailor things to make sure that the dog does exactly what that person needs. For example, if we're matching a dog with a child with autism, we're going to work to make sure the dog does a good job of applying deep pressure, which is one of the tasks dogs do to help children with autism to mitigate meltdowns. If we match a dog with someone who's in a wheelchair, we're going to work on the retrieves and make sure they're very solid, and we'll probably work on the specific items that person is going to want retrieved and make sure the dog knows the name of that item. So if they say remote, the dog is going to skip all the other items and go pick up the remote.
All righty, it's 8:49. We have in studio with us this morning, we have Cabell Yule with us. Cabell is from St. Francis Service Dogs, and we also have Kaya in studio with us. And again, as Evan said, if you're not on Facebook Live, get on there and take a look at Kaya. Absolutely beautiful. Okay, Cabell, we've gone over the steps needed to reach the point where a service dog is ready to take on its duties. But how long does this entire process take? Is it a lengthy one?
It's quite lengthy. We work on the dogs for up to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the portion of the process where we're training their partners to handle them. It's a little bit like riding a horse. I tell people, you know, the horse may know how to be ridden, but this is going to work a lot better once you learn how to ride. And so we also have to teach the people who are going to receive these dogs how to handle them, how to build a relationship with them, how to build trust so that they can work together smoothly. And that process also, there's an intensive 10-day training program for the dog and the person to work together. We also send trainers to spend a few days with them, very specifically one-on-one in their home. There's an intensive follow-up process for 6 months after that. And then we also stay very involved providing support and follow-up training for the working life of the dog, which is another 8 to 10 years. So the whole process is the lifetime of the match.
These dogs are obviously remarkable companions, but are there times where, for whatever reason, it just doesn't work out?
There are times where a dog just isn't suited to the work. Kaya is actually an example of that. Kaya is a lovely dog, but she did not succeed as a service dog. That was not the route she was destined to take. We evaluate our dogs for lots of health issues. We make sure that their joints are going to be good because retrievers are prone to some conditions that affect their joints. We make sure they have strong hearts and good eyes. And then we also want to make sure that temperamentally they like this work. There's some dogs who simply don't want to be a service dog. And if that's the case, we're not going to ask them to do this. Or if a dog ends up being fearful in spite of our best efforts, if they end up being afraid of things dogs sometimes are, like thunderstorms or that sort of thing, then that dog is just not suited for this, and they'll be career changed, which, of course, we say so we don't hurt their fragile egos.
Well, you mentioned it didn't work out for Kai as you would have hoped, but she is, in effect, your public representative, right?
She is. She has several jobs. She acts as our public representative. She also helps us when we are training our partners to prepare for their dog. She's a big part of that, and so she helps in the classes to demonstrate what we're working with, and the partners can work with her, too. So she actually has a lot of roles. She's a busy girl.
Now, I did notice it says service dog, do not pet, and we've all seen these as we've been out and about, and we want to pet them so much.
Oh, I know.
Why is it important that we do not pet them?
Well, there's several reasons for that. First of all, we do understand that there's cruel and unusual punishment to ask the public not to pet these dogs. They are the friendliest dogs you will ever meet, and they will look at you with these eyes that say, no one has ever petted me, and it's just the cruelest thing ever. Could you please give me some kindness? That is not true. They are lying. These dogs get lots of love and petting from their person and from their family. But when they are in public and they're wearing their vest, they're focused on working. They need to stay attuned to their partner so that they can do what they need when they need it. And when you pet a dog, it distracts them from their work. And it also provides a reward for not paying attention to their person. And so we don't want to train these dogs that when they go in public, they don't have to pay attention and work. We actually want to do the opposite. So not petting them is a courtesy to the dog and a courtesy to the person who is partnered with that dog.
You mentioned the word reward. Obviously, the dogs provide indescribable rewards to those for whom they've matched, helps them live more independent lives. What's in it for the dog?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we train our dogs using largely positive reinforcement and a lot of games. So actually, working for these dogs is really fun. They get so excited when someone asks them to go get something because they just can't wait to go do it. A help command, which is an emergency command that's very serious. If someone falls and needs help, that dog going to get help can be very imperative. they think that's the best game ever. And they're just like, yay, I get to go for help. And so the way we train these tasks, they're a joy for the dog to do.
We are joined right now by Cabell Ewell, who is the executive director of St. Francis Service Dogs, along with a constant companion, Kaya. You are based in Roanoke, as I mentioned earlier, but many people may not know that you serve a wide area beyond the valley.
We do. We serve the entire state of Virginia, and in addition to the entire state of Virginia, we also serve a three-hour radius of Roanoke, which means a significant portion of North Carolina and West Virginia. So our service area does spread far beyond the Roanoke Valley.
Does the demand or the need exceed the supply?
Vastly, unfortunately. Right now, St. Francis caps our waiting list to 20 people, and the reason for that is we're placing about 10 dogs a year, and we don't want people to languish on the waiting list for too long because many of them have conditions that are progressive, and we want to make sure that we can get these dogs in with them sooner than later. What that means is that we have well over 100 people waiting on a list for an opportunity to apply for a dog to get on the list to get a dog. So the backlog is years long, and we're always working hard to try to increase the amount of dogs that we can place so that we can help more people who really need these dogs.
Speaking of really needed, obviously it helps meet the needs of a person with disabilities. But talk about, there must be some tremendous bonds that are created on, for lack of a better word, personal level.
Oh, my goodness, yes. The bond between a dog, a service dog, and a person with a disability is extremely profound. In many cases, these dogs make it possible for people to live independently in ways they could not imagine before. And because they're together all the time, there's really a communion between an animal and their person that's amazing to see. And we really watch people bloom having a dog beside them. I've heard one mother said, if you want to make a wheelchair disappear, put a service dog beside it. They have a profound impact, not only on the person they're with, but the community that is far more accepting of people with disabilities when they're with a dog. And the world is actually a kinder, gentler place if you have a service dog with you.
All righty. We've been speaking with Executive Director of St. Francis Service Dogs, Cabell Ewell, along with special guest, very special guest, Kaya. I certainly hope you had a chance to get on Facebook Live at WFIR and see Kaya. Cabell, thank you for coming. What a great conversation. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.